This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello.
And Bridget, we haven't mentioned Kroger for a long time.
Now, no, we haven't.
There's a lot of places in town where you can buy groceries, and I certainly don't want to tell you that you shouldn't go wherever you're going and you should go to Kroger's. I'm not saying that. But if you do go to Kroger's.
I do go to Kroger. I think I live at Kroger, actually.
And you know, at any grocery store today, I hate them. The little cards, you know, you got to have a card to get the bargain. Otherwise, everything's twice the price. And I don't like them, but I got a keychain full of them. So, but if you have a Kroger card, you can register your card. Just go on our Catholic Radio website. You can register your card. And then once you use it, once you register it, you never have to think about it again. Every time you use it, Catholic Radio gets a little rebate, kickback, commission, whatever you want to say, on your groceries. It doesn't matter. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost us anything. You don't pay more for your groceries. We just get a little bit as part of a, kind of a community program that Kroger has, and we benefit from it. And so if you're feeding your family, yourself, whoever.
Probably about $20,000 is what our grocery bills for the year. I kid you. It's probably more than that, actually. We eat a lot.
You know, everybody eats. So if you shop at Kroger's, if you have one of those cards, go to our website, Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y, CatholicRadioIndy.org. You'll see it over on the right-hand side. There's a little button with the Kroger logo in it. And go there. It takes just a moment. You've got to put in your name, your address, your card number. And Catholic Radio Indy is a charity, and you're all done. You're on your way. And then every time, you never even have to think about it. If you go in for bread or milk or $100, $200 worth of groceries, we get a little piece of it. And if we all do it, it really adds up quickly. So go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, and click on the Kroger logo over there, and you'll be helping Catholic Radio every time you shop.
That's great. Well, in our studio today, my guest is Sister Cecilia Mary, and she is a little sister of the poor from Indianapolis. So welcome to Faith in Action, Sister.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
And you guys do so many wonderful things over there, but we were talking, I want to say this first because this is kind of fun. The MyPillow guy. When I work out, we were joking about this ahead of time, but when I work out, I see the My Little Pillow guy, and he gave the Little Sisters of the Poor some pillows. What happened with that? Well, how did that happen?
Well, this is how it happened. One of the ladies that works in our development office knew that our residents needed pillows, that our pillows were getting a bit lumpy and old. And so we priced them. They were a little more than our budget would allow. So she said, well, I'll just try writing to My Pillows because I see it on TV all the time.
Absolutely.
That ad. So she wrote, or she sent an email and didn't think anything of it. And a week later, on Valentine's Day, at our back door, there were 10 big packages with her name on it. And she said, well, I didn't order anything. I don't know what that is. We opened a package, and there were the My Pillows, 115 of them.
Wow. I actually really want one of those. So have you had some good reports on those pillows?
Oh, yes. One resident said, I haven't slept like this since I was a baby.
Wow. That's a pretty good recommendation. So that was wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit about the Sisters of the Poor, what you do, what your care is.
Well, in a nutshell, the Little Sisters of the Poor, our whole mission is to make the elderly happy.
Wow, what a great mission.
Yes, we love it. We serve the residents here in the U.S. and throughout the whole world, and we don't do any hospital work or teaching. We just have homes for the elderly poor.
Now, a thought that's just come to mind is when I was growing up a million years ago, Catholic schools were all run almost entirely by nuns. I can remember when we had the first teacher that wasn't a nun and thought, oh boy, hope that'll work. And now, of course, it's gone the other way around. But with Little Sisters of the Poor, there really are nuns or sisters involved, right?
Yes, indeed, yes.
And there's a difference between sister and nun, too, I've been told. Is that correct? Is there a difference between a sister and a nun? And what could you?
Technically, there is a difference. A nun is like a contemplative that, that cloistered? Just prays cloistered, right, where we have a very deep prayer life, but we're also very visible and very active with our elderly residents.
So one thing that you said when we were talking a little bit earlier was that you live in a very vibrant community, that Little Sisters of the Poor, it's not, you know, just a bunch of, you know, old people sitting around doing not doing anything. Tell us what goes on there.
Well, we have all the services for the elderly that are required by nursing home and all. But we also do many unusual things to make them happy. Right now we're getting ready for the mini 500 race.
Oh yeah,
which will take place right on our campus.
What do you, what's that about? What do you guys do?
Well, we bring the residents out, and it'll happen on May 23rd, and it'll have all the sights and sounds of the brickyard, except there's no bricks.
Well, how neat! I bet they really, really enjoy that.
They do, and it they have an official pace car, and we have that at our house too.
Oh wow, that sounds
who gets to drive the pace car?
One of the sisters usually, with a little help from the. And then the race is kicked off by the Gordon Pipers, and the race is introduced by the mayor of Indianapolis.
Wow.
And our residents, anywhere from 70 to 101, they race around the front circle, and they're with their canes and their walkers and their wheelchairs. And we have first, second, and third place ribbons for the relay teams.
Oh, that's fun.
I did not even know that happened at Little Sisters of the Poor. Now, what are some of the other things that go on over there that are different and unique for the residents?
We always have a senior prom every year. The Chittard High School comes, and the residents spend the whole day or the day before getting their makeovers and their dresses and getting ready for prom.
Now, by senior
night.
Prom, you have high school kids come over, but it's not the high school seniors that are having the prom, right?
That's right. It's the elderly, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the student has to go up to the resident's door and knock on their door and escort their date down to the auditorium, Lanigan Hall. So this year that's happening very soon on April 27th.
Wow, so you have a lot of you know, young people coming over to help out for various ministries. Now, there was something that you guys just had. It was some type of a service camp where young people could come and live and work with the sisters. Could you tell us a little bit about that service camp and maybe what they do, and it's not just during spring break you do this. There are other opportunities to do it. So
yes.
Tell us what goes on with that.
That's Spring Into Service, we call it.
Okay.
And it's a summer service for 6 weeks. And it our sisters in Washington coordinate it. And this year, more than 40 young women wanted to participate in it. And these young women are at various colleges and universities, not necessarily Catholic, where they come from. They have to be Catholic to participate, but it's not Catholic universities.
Okay.
And they apply, and then we look through the they look through the applications and decide to match them up according to, you know, where they think. So there's over 40 of them coming this year, and we're getting 3 of them in Indianapolis.
So they can actually, it's not just Indianapolis where they can work and serve.
They can choose whatever home they want to go to anywhere in the U.S.
Okay. And how many homes are there in the United States?
We have 22 homes.
That's quite a bit. And how many residents are at your facility here in Indianapolis?
We have 97 residents, and that's broken down into we have 18 in the apartments and, let's see, 23 in the apartments, 18 in assisted living, and 42 on the nursing units.
Wow. So if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Sister Cecilia Mary. She is a Little Sisters of the Poor here in Indianapolis, and we're talking about all the wonderful things that they do there. So how did you happen to become a sister? I have to ask. Because people, you know, I always want to ask sisters when they knew, you know, God was calling them and how that kind of came into being.
Well, you were saying when you first started this interview about how the Catholic sisters in the schools, mm-hmm. the all the classes were mm-hmm. run by sisters. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to one of those Catholic schools mm-hmm. ages ago.
Mm-hmm. And you still and, became one.
Well, no. Now, wait. I didn't become one of those. Oh. They wanted me to be a teaching sister, but those sisters were dressed impeccably with white cuffs and, mm-hmm. and you know, their veils were perfect. They looked, you know, and I said, that's not me. Mm. I want to give my life to God, but I can't be that perfectly groomed. So right across the street from our high school was a home for the aged, and mm-hmm. I had never been there, but a couple of us friends said, let's go over and check it out. Mm-hmm. And we did, and it was the Little Sisters of the Poor home, and the sisters were helping the residents, serving their meals, cleaning the tables, and they were so friendly, and they would roll their sleeves up, and they just seemed... It seemed like a family, mm-hmm. the sisters working with the residents. And whatever we did, crazy young teenagers, mm-hmm. it made the residents happy. And they were so happy to see us. And I said, that's much better than teaching school. So I applied and became a little sister. And I've been a happy little sister for 50 years.
Wow, that is amazing. So this service camp that you do, how do people find out about that? I mean, is there anything happening this summer, or when can they start looking into doing something like this?
They can apply either through our home in Indianapolis or through the center where they do it in Washington, D.C. They can look up the Little Sisters of the Poor on the website, and mm-hmm. I'm sure they would be directed to where that happens. And we check out the young women and make sure that they are really interested in what we have to mm-hmm. offer. Mm-hmm. And then we try to match them up to whatever. Mm-hmm. The three that are coming to Indianapolis this year, one is majoring in nursing, one in physical therapy, and the other in some kind of a plant environmental thing. Mm-hmm. So they have various backgrounds.
Wow. So it's really kind of neat, you know, that your story, that you actually did something in a way, maybe a microcosm of what you're doing now. You went over and mm-hmm. you checked it out and you tried what it was like to serve. Yeah. And then these women come now. How long do they do this, and what exactly would their day be like? If someone were listening and they're thinking, maybe I want to do that.
They will be with us for 6 weeks, and they will pray with the sisters, and they will work with the residents, and they'll do what we do, try to make the residents happy.
Now, is that meant to be a recruitment effort, or is this somebody that really has no interest in being a nun? They just want to go help out during their spring vacation or their summer vacation or something?
No, it's more of a recruitment. They don't have to say, oh, yes, I'm going to be a religious, but they get a chance to chant the divine office with us, pray mm-hmm. with us, follow regular hours of work. And so it gives them an opening to what religious life might be like. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean they have to become a sister, but they have to have at least a desire to explore religious life in order to come and stay with us. But we have other volunteers that just come to make the residents happy, just come to mm-hmm. visit them and all. That's very nice also. Okay.
Well, I'm getting the sign from Jim to take a quick break, so we'll be right back with more Faith in Action. Stay tuned.
Besides going to Mass each Sunday, we're all encouraged to spend a little time with our Lord each week, to shut out distractions, to present our prayers to God, and then just listen. In today's hectic world, that sounds impossible, doesn't it? Well, chances are, there's an adoration chapel in a Catholic church not far from where you live, a place where you can spend an hour or just a few minutes in the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, in a quiet, peaceful setting where you can really talk to Jesus. And more importantly, He can talk to you. Many chapels are open 24 hours a day. Here are some of the places where you'll find adoration chapels: at St. Mary's Parish, St. Patrick's Parish, St. Therese the Little Flower, and St. Thomas More Parish. Why not stop by soon? Jesus is there, and He is waiting to talk to you.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a website, CatholicRadioND.org, with access to great Catholic resources, including podcasts of all our local programming, podcasts that have been downloaded from all 50 states and over 40 countries on 6 continents. Yes, we are Catholic Radio Indy, but thanks to your support, we're taking the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and we are here in the studio with Sister Cecilia Mary from the Little Sisters of the Poor, and we're having a good time, aren't we?
Yes, we are. This is quite interesting.
So tell us a little bit about your foundress and of the Little Sisters of the Poor.
I'd be happy to. St. John Jugan began this work in 1839, and at that point she saw an elderly woman, Anne Chauvin, alone and blind, living in very poor circumstances. Now, John Jugan was a poor woman herself. She worked every day, but on her way home from work, she just couldn't see this lady suffering there by herself. So she picked her up and carried her up the winding steps to her second floor apartment, and then John placed Anne into her own bed, and John went up to the attic to sleep. And that we count as, that was the winter of 1839, and that was the beginning. And after that, a couple more old people knocked on her door. She took them in. She eventually had to move to a larger place on the ground floor where she could care for the elderly.
And was she actually a nun at that point?
No,
or just a
no. She was
regular,
an ordinary working woman, and she lived with another lady who offered to help her. And then before long, two or three young people came and offered to be of help. And it just started expanding, and soon she started homes throughout France, and then the sisters moved over to England and across the ocean to the U.S. and all over the world. And now we're a worldwide congregation approved by Rome with over 2,000 little sisters. And
that's hard to believe.
And when someone, a young lady, wants to become a little sister, do they actually have formal training? I mean, do you become a novitiate and all of the other steps as in many other religious orders?
Oh, yes,
orders?
We do. Yes, we have novitiates in almost every country. And here in America, it's in Queens, New York. And the young woman enters as a postulant in Baltimore, and then after about 4 to 6 months, goes to our novitiate for 2 years. And then from there, they make their first vows and go out to one of our homes and works in the home for a few years, and then goes over to our mother house in France, where they spend a year learning French and another year at our mother house before making final vows.
Oh, okay.
So now, by the time we make final vows, we're sure we know what we want to do.
Now, I would imagine a lot of the sisters are have a connection to the medical care field, but is that are there a lot of nuns involved in aspects of the organization other than the hands-on medical?
Oh, yes. We do all kinds of, as I said, our prime duty is to make the old people happy.
Mm-hmm.
And John Jugan was very practical. She said to the sister cook, make sure the soup is tasty because and don't put too much salt in it. It has to have a good flavor. Mealtime is very important, so the sisters help in serving the meals and making the residents happy in that way. And then she also said to the sister in the chapel, don't make the prayers too long, because if you do, the old men will go out and have a smoke.
Sounds like a very practical one.
That's hilarious. So now tell us a little bit. I know you wanted to mention something about the Guild. What's the Guild?
The Guild is a group of women, and could be men too, I suppose, Catholic women who were founded 50 years ago to support the mission of the Little Sisters of the Poor in Indianapolis. It started when a group of women assisted the sisters in moving from our first home, which was on Lockerbie Square, and to a new facility, and now at 2345 West 86th Street. So today, the Guild members provide thousands of volunteer hours. They make beds, they help in the kitchen, they do the help with the laundry folding, they work on clerical tasks, they visit the residents, they plan all kinds of celebrations and really fun parties. A fun thing they do at Christmas time, they have the 12 days of Christmas, and they have a little crocheted bag that they hang on the door of each resident, and each of the 12 days they put a little something in that bag, so the resident gets
so
up
cute.
In the morning and has a surprise. They do many wonderful things. And then they have some bigger fundraising events to help us, too.
So then people listening could join that. They could join the guild, or they could be a volunteer through that
right.
way, or they could be a volunteer in another way.
True, yes. We have a lot of volunteers that are not members of the guild, but they help us take residents back and forth for appointments. They help serve the meals. They do a lot of things.
And I know that in addition to volunteering, you always have financial needs. What are some of the things that need to be like replaced that you really need to raise money for, whether it could be a corporate donor or it could be an individual? What are some of the things that the little sisters really need, the top three things that mother needs, right?
Yes. Well, these are big items. We need new hospital beds and mattresses, and that's the health department is very fussy about what kind and
sure.
you know what. And then we need new oxygen concentrators. And that saves us a lot of money than having to rent them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need bedside tables and with locks. That's another requirement mm-hmm. of the health department so that the residents can lock up their
sure.
valuable
their treasures,
bingo,
right?
Their
sure.
valuable bingo money and things like that.
Sure. Yeah. Now, with all of those items that you mentioned there, those are all kind of specialty items. I mean, somebody who has a spare mattress around the house, that's not what you're looking for.
No, it has to meet the health requirements. But we have a lot of smaller needs, too, that volunteers will bring in Kleenex for the residents yeah. or lotion or different things like that. It doesn't have to always be major items. But, you know, with 95 elderly poor people, there's always a need for something.
Sure, absolutely.
So all donations are appreciated. Sometimes it's the people that send $5 or $10 a month, but consistently, that keeps us with bread and butter on the
sure.
table.
So, Jim, could you go ahead and give that the webpage if
sure.
someone wanted to either donate or volunteer? We'll give that again at the end. We have about 5 minutes left, but go ahead and give that,
okay.
Jim.
You know, some websites are very cryptic, you know, when you hear www.something. You think, I'm never going to remember that. Theirs is very simple, very straightforward. www.littlesistersofthepoorindianapolis.org. That simple. littlesistersofthepoor.of Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. littlesistersofthepoorindianapolis.org. There we are.
So I'm noticing that there is an event, and there's a car raffle coming up, too, in June. Can anyone buy raffle tickets for that? What's the car? Do you know what the car is? It's a car raffle, right?
It's
so you're going to get
right.
a car, right?
Yeah, you're going to get a big car, yeah. Anyway, just give us a call, and we'll give you more details on that. And then there's the golf outing, too, the Swing for Seniors. That's in July. And that's a big thing, too. And there's lots of live and silent auctions, even the Notre Dame football tickets.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
always a lot of fun.
Very good. So
for the Swing for Seniors, that is a fundraiser that you're also doing. And people could donate to the silent auction for that if they have, like, an item.
Yes.
And you're saying that there are Notre Dame football tickets, too, as a prize or as
yes.
a silent auction item.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of different ways that people can contribute, and there might be people that are, you know, that work for Bed Bath and Beyond or something like that, because
mm-hmm.
you said you needed the mattresses. You've got the pillows, right, from the
We've
My Pillow guy,
pillows.
Right?
We've got pillows,
but
yes.
you have a need for mattresses. And again, what are some of the things that people could do to volunteer? Like if I wanted to volunteer, what would be some of the things that I could do? Let's say I do not have a medical background.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that I could do?
Well, one of the things the residents really enjoy is having someone come and visit them.
Just talk.
Listen
and talk.
To their stories. They may tell you the same story every week, but they just love to have someone listen to their stories. Yeah, or take them out for a little walk. Spring mm-hmm. is, you know, the weather's getting nice. We have beautiful grounds, but they can't get out on their own, so someone has to push them around
mm-hmm.
and... Yeah, they would enjoy that.
All right, so there's lots of different ways that people can become involved. And again, the website, Little Sisters of the Poor, Indianapolis.org.
So what has it been like for you to be a sister? What kind of, how has serving others impacted your faith? I know you obviously you pray and connect with God in that way, but you know, when you're serving other people, it really has an impact. What's it been like for you personally to be a sister and to be working at this particular facility?
The prayer life is the key. That's the important thing. We pray, we don't do all our prayers at once. The prayer is like a rhythm throughout the day. We pray, we serve the residents, we make them happy, we pray. And that has been my life, and I'm very happy with it.
We were just, I had another guest a while ago, and we were talking about the Liturgy of the Hours. Is that what you pray then? Is
we
that
do,
you
yes.
pray the Liturgy
we
of the
chant
Hours?
The Liturgy of the Hours. We have holy hours. We spend 35 minutes in meditation, another hour in prayer later in the day. Yes.
Now, do the residents participate in some of the prayer activities as well?
They're always welcome. Our chapel is open. They can join us in prayer, or they can come and pray on their own. They say the rosary together.
But not required to. I mean, they don't
not required
have to.
At
if
all.
They go, they have
no.
to go to all these prayer services?
All our residents aren't Catholic, so but many of them love to come into our beautiful chapel and sit there and meditate and pray.
So if someone out there was listening and you wanted to encourage them to donate or volunteer, or maybe they're afraid they want to, what how would you encourage them to come out and maybe volunteer and spend some time?
I would tell them to come and see. Once they step in our house, they will sense the atmosphere of joy and peace, and they will want to come back.
Okay, let me give you a phone number here as well. I'm going to give you the website again too, so but the phone number 317-415-5767 317-415-5767. That's the phone number there. You can call with any questions that you have, or you'll probably find a lot of the answers to your questions at www.littlesistersofthepoorindianapolis.org.
My guest today has been Sister Cecilia Mary of the Little Sisters of the Poor. Thanks so much for being my guest. God bless you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I have enjoyed it.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.